Good morning. One of our research objectives in our lab is the examination of learning in solitary bees and how it can be applied to enhance pollination in artificial situations. A step towards that goal is the establishment of the ability of solitary bees to be conditioned. For this study, we used two bees, solitary cavity nesting bees from the family Megachylidae, the blue orchard bee and the alfalfa leaf cutting bee. Unlike honeybees, in solitary bee species, all females are reproductive and build their own nests. In a previous conditioning study, we used a similar bioassay to condition bees to choose between an unscented feeder and a feeder scented with a floral odor, either geraniol or phenylacetaldehyde. In that study, we found that conditioned bees were more likely than unconditioned bees to respond by choosing between scented and unscented feeders. We also found that conditioned bees were more likely than unconditioned bees to choose the scented feeder. The next step along that line of research would be to condition bees to choose between two odors. So we hypothesized that naive megachylid bees can be trained to discriminate between two floral odors. And if this is true, then in a choice test, conditioned bees will choose the odor that they associate with a sucrose reward. For a conditioning procedure, we used three odors. We used phenylacetaldehyde, which I refer to as PAA, geraniol, and citral. All three of these odors are components of floral aromas, and all three have been used previously by other researchers to condition honeybees. As you can see in this picture, bees were exposed to the odors as they clung to and rested on the wick of a feeder. The wick is surrounded by a filter paper ring, and odors are applied to that ring. When an odor is paired with sucrose solution, it's considered the positive odor, and when it's paired with water, it's considered the negative odor. These feeders of these two types were alternated for the conditioned bees, and for unconditioned bees, they still received alternating sucrose solution and water, but there was never any odor applied to the filter paper ring. With three odors, there are six possible combinations of positive and negative odor pairings, and we tested all six possible combinations. Each day, bees that emerged from their cocoons were placed in a plexiglass cage in a 1-to-1 sex ratio. They received alternating positively and negatively reinforced odors over the course of 2 days, and on the morning of the third day, they were tested. For the test procedure, they were allowed 10 minutes to choose between the positively and negatively reinforced odors. Specifically, they entered the arena from the side. Once inside the testing arena, they encountered two faux feeders. A faux feeder consisted of a filter paper ring with a water-saturated wick in the center. One of the faux feeders had the positively reinforced scent on it, and the other faux feeder had the negatively reinforced scent. A bee was recorded as having chosen if it extended its proboscis to drink from one of the feeders. Rotation of the aluminum foil allowed us to alternate the positions of the two feeders. In this table, you can see across the top the different possible odor pairings that we tested. And along the side, you can see the bees that we tested. There were conditioned and unconditioned blue orchard bee females, alfalfa leaf cutting bee females, and alfalfa leaf cutting bee males. Because of a shortage of blue orchard bee males, we did test those, but I'm unable to present those data to you today. In each cell, you can see the total number of bees that were tested for a particular group, and then of those, the percentage that responded by choosing. These are examples of how bees were more likely to choose when the odor pairings involved geraniol and PAA than they were when other odors were involved in the odor pairings. Also, we saw that frequently blue orchard bees were more likely to choose than alfalfa leaf cutting bees. And we did see this same thing in our previous conditioning study. We analyzed males and females of each species separately, and we used a chi-squared test of homogeneity of proportions to answer three questions. Did unconditioned bees choose both odors equally? In other words, was there an innate odor bias? Were conditioned and unconditioned bees equally likely to make a choice? And when they did choose, were the conditioned bees more likely than unconditioned bees to choose the positively reinforced odor? Well, did unconditioned bees choose both odors equally? Yes, with only one exception. There was no apparent odor bias. Were conditioned and unconditioned bees equally likely to make a choice? Yes, both groups responded equally with only one exception. This is in contrast to what we saw in our previous study where the conditioned bees were more likely to make a choice. And when they did choose, were the conditioned bees more likely than unconditioned bees to choose the positive odor? Sometimes. What we did find was that the conditioned bees were better able to discriminate when the odor pairing involved geraniol and PAA. This, as you'll recall, I pointed out earlier that just in general, bees were more likely to make a choice if these were the odors involved in the pairing. So, although some of the groups did demonstrate that they were able to discriminate between the odors, overall, odor discrimination as a result of conditioning was not fully demonstrated. In our previous study, we were able to use this bioassay to successfully condition bees. So I don't think that the bioassay is the problem. It's possible that differentiating between these particular odors lacks relevance for these bees, especially in an artificial setting. One thing I really think would improve the results would be larger sample sizes. As you'll recall in this table, I showed the sample size and the percentage of bees that made a choice. Not only do I need to test more blue orchard bee males before I can even include them here, but for some groups I also need to test more blue orchard bee females. For the alfalfa leaf cutting bees, for all the groups I tested quite a few bees, but because, as shown in this example, they weren't as likely to choose, if I would test more bees, I would have more choices for my statistical analysis and therefore would be able to increase statistical power. In addition to increasing the sample size for this project, we are also looking at other situations where olfactory learning might be important for these bees, such as nest selection. And we hope that we could find ways that learning can be applied in commercial situations. For example, we may be able to increase retention of commercial populations if we can use odor to train bees to visit supplemental feeders or to nest in provided shelters. In closing, I just want to thank the technicians that helped me with this project, and I will entertain questions. Question was, what do I have any idea why geraniol in particular seems significant? I actually am. It could be because these bees are very seasonal, and blue orchard bees in particular only fly in the spring, and they seem to prefer rosaceous crops, and so it could be that that particular odor has significant meaning for them. And also, PAA, it just seems they can discriminate between geraniol and PAA very well in particular, so they may be structurally different enough for them to just really have a meaning for these bees.